Welcome back to the deep dive. I want you to just, for a second, picture that stack of mail on your kitchen counter. You know the one.
Oh, I know the one.
It's got that explanation of benefits that screams, this is not a bill, but it definitely feels like a bill is coming.
Right. It implies a future bill.
Exactly. We treat health insurance paperwork like it's a bomb. We're afraid to touch it. We don't understand it. And we just, you know, hope it doesn't blow up our finances.
It's funny. It's the one thing we all buy that costs thousands a year, yet we often have absolutely no idea how it works.
That's it. If you bought a car, you'd know how to drive it.
Mm.
But we spend all this money on insurance and have no clue how to steer.
Mm.
But today isn't about that. We're actually going to fix it. We've got the Health Insurance Made Easy newsletter from Randstad Insurance. This is their January 2026 edition. And we're going to turn all that confusion into an actual strategy.
And strategy is really the key word. The report frames this in a really clear way. It connects your financial health directly to your healthcare literacy.
And what does that even mean?
It's not just about reading. It's about decoding a system that, frankly, can feel like it's designed to be misunderstood.
That's our mission today, then. We're going to decode the jargon that costs us money. We're going to tackle this literacy concept and then do a deep dive on the deductible.
The big one.
Yeah, because I think a lot of us are losing the game simply because we don't know the rules.
I think that's a very fair assessment. When you look at the data, the gap between having insurance and, you know, knowing how to use it is, well, that's where all the financial pain comes from.
Okay, so let's start there. Healthcare literacy. When I hear that, my brain just goes to, like, a reading test. Can I read the sign for cardiology?
It's so much more than that. The source defines it as the ability to not just read, but to find, understand, and then use information to make good decisions.
So it's active.
It's very active. It's not just, can I read the brochure? It's, can I read the brochure, understand the side effects, check if my insurance covers the alternative, and then actually schedule the right appointment.
It's the difference between reading a recipe and actually cooking the meal while the kitchen is on fire.
That's a vivid way to put it, but yes, absolutely. And the National Assessment of Adult Literacy breaks this down into four levels.
Oh, this is fascinating.
It is, because you can almost see where you or your family members might fall on this spectrum.
Okay, let's walk through them. I was reading the top tier proficient. And honestly, it sounds like you need an MD to qualify.
It is a very high bar. To be proficient, you have to be able to synthesize information from multiple complex sources.
Synthesize is doing a lot of work in that sentence.
It is. Imagine you get a discharge paper from the hospital, a new prescription, and your insurance policy is on your tablet.
Okay, a typical Tuesday.
A proficient person can look at the dosage on the bottle, cross-reference it with a warning on the discharge paper, and then check their policy to see if the follow-up specialist is in network. They're navigating three different languages at once.
Medical, pharmaceutical, and bureaucratic? That is rare. I feel like most of us just, you know, take the pill and hope for the best.
Which brings us to intermediate. And this is where a huge chunk of the population probably sits.
Okay.
These are people who can handle moderately complex text. They can look at a chart of their blood sugar readings and understand the trend.
So if the graph is going up, they know that's bad.
Exactly. They can read a drug label for the basic instructions, like take with food. But they might struggle if they have to, say, calculate an out-of-pocket cost based on a percentage in a table.
Hmm. They get the health part, but maybe not the math part.
Precisely. The system part.
Then we drop down to basic, and this is where I feel like the system really starts to fail people.
Basic literacy means you can handle simple, everyday tasks. You can read a short pamphlet on hypertension and understand that high blood pressure is bad.
But the newsletter points out a specific weakness here with complex plans.
Right. A basic level patient might get a diagnosis that needs a multi-step response. Take this pill in the morning, this one at night, record your weight, and call if you gain 2 pounds.
That's a lot to track.
And that logic chain often breaks down. They might take the pills but forget to weigh themselves, or they just don't understand the connection between the weight gain and the medication.
And then the bottom tier, below basic.
This is the most vulnerable group.
Hmm.
The text describes their skills as significantly lower than what's needed to navigate the healthcare environment. We're talking about individuals who might only be able to find the line on a form where they need to sign their name.
Wow. The example in the text really stuck with me. It said they can understand a short instruction given right before an exam.
Yes. Like, stand here or take off your shoes.
But imagine that person walking into a modern hospital. It's a maze.
A total labyrinth. If you can't read the directory or if you don't know the difference between radiology and rheumatology, you're completely lost.
And this isn't just about feeling confused. The Ronstadt report draws a very hard line between these literacy levels and, like, actual physical danger.
The stakes are incredibly high. It's not just confusion, it's pathology. The data links low literacy directly to poor overall health.
And higher hospital readmissions, right?
Yes, that 30-day readmission stat is terrifying. It's a vicious cycle. A patient with low literacy is discharged. They nod, they take the papers, but they don't really get the home care instructions.
So they don't fill the prescription or they take it wrong.
Exactly.
Yay.
And 3 weeks later, they're back in the ER with a complication that was totally preventable.
And the ER is the most expensive hotel in the city.
It is.
Yeah.
Which connects the literacy issue directly to the financial issue. The report notes that people with lower literacy use emergency services more often, not because they're sicker, but because they don't know how to find an urgent care clinic or a primary care doctor.
So they just go to the one door they know is always open.
And they pay premium prices for what might be basic care.
And get hit with bills they never saw coming.
Mm-hmm.
This is the perfect bridge to the second half of our deep dive. Because you can be proficient at reading a health chart, but if you are below basic at understanding the money, you are still going to lose. Let's talk about the deductible.
The word everyone knows, but nobody loves.
And nobody really understands. I feel like most people just think of it as a number I have to pay. But the text defines it as your initial financial responsibility.
That phrasing is so important. Initial.
Yeah.
It means the insurance company is telling you, we are not partners in this yet.
You're on your own.
You are paying 100% of the costs until you hit that number.
Okay, but wait. I have to challenge that a little because I have a high deductible plan, but when I go for my annual physical, I pay zero.
The preventive exception.
What's that?
It is the single biggest source of confusion at the front desk of any doctor's office. Under most plans, routine preventive care, your annual checkup, certain shots, is covered at 100%, deductible or not.
Okay, so that's good.
It is, but, and this is a huge but, you have to be careful. Let's say you go in for that free physical. While the doctor's listening to your heart, you say, oh, by the way, my knee has been clicking.
I have done that exact thing. Maximize the time, you know?
And you just triggered a billing event. The moment the visit shifts from preventive to diagnostic, that free visit can suddenly generate a bill that goes straight toward your deductible.
That is so sneaky.
It's not necessarily sneaky. It's just very strict coding.
Yeah.
And knowing that difference is part of that proficiency we talked about earlier.
It all connects. Okay, so let's talk strategy. How do you choose a deductible? Because most of us just look at the monthly premium and pick the cheapest one.
And that can be a huge mistake. It's a trade-off.
Yeah.
A gamble, really.
Yeah.
The general rule is an inverse relationship. High deductible usually means low premium.
And low deductible means a high premium.
Exactly. So you have to do the math on your own life. You have to figure out which bet to place.
Let's run a scenario.
Perfect. Option A. You pay $100 a month in premiums, but you have a $5,000 deductible.
Okay, cheap month to month.
Option B, you pay $400 a month, so $300 more, but your deductible is only $1,000.
Right. So my fixed cost for the year in option A is $1,200. In option B, it's $4,800.
You are paying the insurance company an extra $3,600 a year. Just for the peace of mind of lower deductible.
So I'm betting $3,600 that I'm going to get sick.
Exactly. The report calls this the healthy strategist versus the high utilizer. If you're healthy, you take the high deductible plan and you bank the savings.
And if you know you have a surgery coming up,
then you're a high utilizer. You pay the higher premium to lower your overall risk.
It's about predicting your future self.
And being honest about your savings account. Can you actually write a check for $5,000 if something happens tomorrow? If not, a high deductible plan is a dangerous game.
That's the reality check. Okay, so let's say the worst happens. I'm a high utilizer. I fall off a ladder. I pay my deductible. Am I done? Is everything free now?
This is the biggest misconception. People think the deductible is the finish line. It is not.
It's just the gateway.
It is just the gateway to what comes next.
Which is?
Which is coinsurance.
Okay, I feel like this is where people's eyes glaze over, but we have to nail this. What's the difference between a copay and coinsurance?
Think of it this way. A copay is usually a flat fee for access. It's your ticket at the door, $20 to see the doctor, $50 for urgent care.
Okay, ticket at the door. Got it.
Coinsurance is a percentage of the service. This kicks in after you meet your deductible.
Okay,
So you fell off the ladder. You paid your $1,000 deductible. Now you need a surgery that costs $10,000. You don't pay zero.
You enter the coinsurance phase.
And that's usually what, an 80-20 split?
Mm-hmm. A common split is 80-20. The insurance pays 80%, you pay 20%. So on that $10,000 surgery, even after meeting your deductible, you still owe another $2,000.
That is painful. So when does it actually stop? When is anything truly free?
That would be the out-of-pocket maximum. That is the true finish line.
Right. That's the number, maybe $7,000 or $10,000 for the year, where if you hit it, the insurance finally says, okay, that's it. We've got it from here. We cover 100%.
So the timeline of a bad year is, first, I pay everything up to the deductible.
Yes.
Then I pay 20% of everything, which is the coinsurance.
Right.
And only if I have a catastrophic year do I hit the out-of-pocket max and finally start pacing.
That's the perfect timeline. Mm-hmm. And understanding where you are on that timeline is a strategic advantage. If you hit your out-of-pocket max in November, you should absolutely get that knee surgery you were putting off in December.
Because it's free.
It's effectively free.
Yeah.
If you wait till January, the clock resets and you're back to paying the deductible from scratch.
It's all strategy. It's not just paperwork. It's timing.
It is. And there's one more trap the newsletter mentions that can just blow up this whole equation.
What's that?
Out of network.
Oh, the dreaded OON.
Yes. Remember we said the proficient user checks the network?
I do.
Here's why. On many plans, if you go out of network, those costs do not count towards your in-network deductible or your out-of-pocket max.
Wait, say that again. I could pay $5,000 to an out-of-network specialist, and I'm still at zero on my deductible.
In many cases, yes. Or you have a separate, much, much higher out-of-network deductible. You're basically throwing that money into a black hole as far as your main insurance plan is concerned.
And that brings us right back to literacy. Because if you don't know to ask the question, are you in my network?
Or if you assume that because the hospital's in-network, the anesthesiologist working there must also be in-network.
Which is a classic trap.
A classic trap. You're at a network facility, but the doctor who reads your x-ray is an independent contractor who isn't covered. You get the bill, and you have no recourse.
Paranoid reading. I think that's what this is. You have to be paranoid.
It really highlights why the Ronstadt newsletter puts such an emphasis on education.
Yeah.
If you are a passive consumer in this system, it will eat your savings.
So what's the actionable advice?
The newsletter's advice is simple. Contact your employer. But I'd refine that. Don't just contact them. Go to HR with very specific questions.
Right. Don't just ask, is my insurance good?
No. Ask, what is my out-of-pocket maximum for the year? Ask, where is the list of zero-cost preventive services? Ask, do I have a separate deductible for out-of-network care?
Treat it like a business meeting, because it is your business.
Exactly. And use the resources they have. A lot of companies have advocates or tools that nobody uses because people are, I think, afraid to ask. Using them isn't a sign of weakness. It's a sign you're treating your health like the asset it is.
I like that word, asset. We started this by talking about scary paperwork, but what you're really saying is that literacy is a form of wealth.
It absolutely is. I mean, think about it. We hire financial advisors to manage our stocks to save, what, 1% in fees.
Mm-hmm.
A lack of health literacy, going out of network, choosing the wrong plan, that can cost you 10 or 20% of your annual income in one bad year.
So taking the time to read the fine print is literally like paying yourself.
It is the highest hourly rate you can possibly earn. Spending 1 hour to understand your coinsurance could save you $2,000. That's a $2,000 an hour job.
I love that framing. It makes the headache of reading those documents feel like a paycheck.
It changes the incentive completely. You're not doing chores. You're protecting your fortune.
Well, on that note, I am going to go dig out my benefits handbook and maybe actually read past page 3 this time.
Look for the exclusions list. That's where the really interesting stuff is hiding.
I'm on it. Thanks for helping us decode all this today. And to everyone listening, good luck with the paperwork. You can beat it. We'll see you on the next deep dive.